I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This week on Feel Good Friday, daddy-son blood transfusions. Social media is not healthy. Brain implant allows man to walk again. A social worker is the king of nursing home games. And religion makes people do wild things!
Dude, that was like a solid nine.
That was solid.
I nailed that one.
That was solid.
I nailed that one.
I'll give you a 9 out of 10 on that one.
I would tell you, I'm skeptical of that last one.
You're skeptical of what I've said?
No, yeah, I'm skeptical of the last.
Religion makes people do some wild things?
Yeah. Like, well, I just don't believe it.
You know what's funny?
Like, it just seems like a statement that doesn't really.
Well, wait till we get to it. It's going to be our what the health piece, which I won't get into now, but, and I'm not sure if this fits on the program, but it kind of does. It's pretty intense. We'll get to it.
It's funny because I don't think about what you're actually saying. Like, I'm not actually listening to what you're saying. I'm like anxiously waiting for the beat to drop and wondering if you're going to say the last thing
right
at that exact time. So I'm not like actually paying attention to the words coming out of your mouth.
It's kind of like the way that you never really pay attention to the words out of anyone's mouth and you're just waiting for your moment to speak.
Yeah. It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about. Let's talk about blood. Okay.
I was like, whoa, this could go in so many different directions.
Let's talk about blood, baby.
I wish you pulled the clip of the little
blood.
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 Blood. Are you guys familiar? I'm sure you are, but are you guys familiar with Brian Johnson?
Brian Johnson?
I don't think so. Not by name, but possibly by actions.
You know what popped into my head when you said that?
Hal Johnson?
No.
Hal Johnson.
Who was the Olympic runner? The doper?
Oh,
for doping?
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
Allegedly.
You know that he did
allegedly.
You know that he did a commercial for an energy drink called Cheetah, and he went, I cheetah all the time.
No, he didn't.
Swear to God.
Okay. Brian Johnson is a Silicon Valley centimillionaire. And he is, so he's super rich.
Does that mean 100 million?
Yeah,
or
hundreds
more?
Of millions of dollars, I guess. I don't know.
It's like you're not quite a billionaire, but you're pretty close.
But he's getting there.
It really using the word centimillionaire really speaks to inflation.
Yeah.
Because it's like now, like, millionaire?
You fucking loser.
Tens of millions?
You whatever.
Loser.
Tens of millions? Yeah. Still not really that impressive.
So this guy, he started a bunch of different companies, but he's probably most well known in the general population for his obsession with trying to make himself, like, genetically and like DNA wise, the youngest human.
Oh,
this but he's like in his like late 40s.
I've seen these pictures.
You've seen this
these
guy?
These are the weird fit.
Dude,
these
this
are
is
weird,
weird
pictures, right?
This gets weird.
I don't even
want
to talk about. I'm just gonna be quiet.
No,
for
we definitely
next
gotta talk about
minutes.
It. So it's just
too weird.
So
for me.
Part of this is from Vice. R.I.P. Silicon Valley centimillionaire who spent a fortune on various procedures to keep his body young. He is now injecting himself with his teenage son's blood.
Dude, this is straight.
Teenage son blood transfusion.
This is straight out of Silicon Valley. Like Silicon Valley, the comedy
blood boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because what's his name? The founder of Hooli,
yeah.
Who is like, Hooli is basically a parody of Google in Silicon Valley.
Which is a television show for people who don't know. It's
HBO comedy.
Comedy.
And he is, he's like an eccentric billionaire. And he becomes obsessed with young, like teenage or young adult blood transfusions to keep himself young.
So this is that in real life. and this and that was not inspired by this, and maybe this was inspired by that.
Right, exactly.
I want to be a fly on the wall in this kid's therapy sessions 15 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Johnson and his 17-year-old son, Talmage, who he calls Blood Boy. He calls him Blood Boy. He calls his son Blood Boy. Recently released a video where they each have a liter of blood drawn. This is split into parts, liquid plasma, red blood cells, and white blood cells, and platelets, before Talmage's blood is fed into Johnson's veins. Meanwhile, a liter of Johnson's blood is pumped for his 70-year-old father. There's a lot of swapping going on here.
Taylor,
a lot of family swapping, which is very much a big thing,
Taylor,
these days.
Taylor, you do not.
What are you doing? Step bro.
Taylor, you do not want to see the glamour shots that this family took for whatever article.
Why don't we look at one? Here's one of Johnson and his son. They're holding up vials of blood for people who are just listening.
Is jaundice.
He does look a little yellow. I think that could be makeup. But he does look supple. Daddy looks supple.
He looks pretty young. He's in his late 40s.
See how old Brian Johnson is.
You better hope he's not older than that, because he'll be so bummed if he ever hears this.
I mean, I guess his money is doing what he wants it to do. He looks, if he's in his late 40s, he looks fucking young.
He is. Let's find out.
He definitely doesn't look older than 40.
Brian Johnson.
He looks 44.
He's 45 years old.
Well, Brian was close.
Yeah, 45.
I think he looks younger than that.
I think he looks his age.
I think he looks late 30s.
he does look a bit younger to me. Meanwhile, a liter of Johnson's blood is pumped for his 7-year-old father. In the video, Johnson points to the container of his freshly extracted blood and says, "The color is nice. It's pristine." Before it's injected into his father. This, for his dad, is, quote, like winning the lottery. Here's another photo of a few photos. So on the top left, there's one of Brian and his son.
Dude, this is way too fucking weird.
To be honest with you, I'm glad I didn't take this photo with my dad when I was. The second photo in the middle there is Brian, his son, and Brian's dad. They look like they're fucking taking shots for a boy band. Like,
dude, I love this quote on this. Once divided by the mind, now united by biology.
They were already united
by biology, because you made them.
Yeah, the first photo on its own would have been like, okay, a little weird, but kind of cute.
And I guess he could be adopted, but he looks very much like his dad, so I don't think that's true.
When they introduce wetness into the photos, it gets a little bit
weird. Yeah, it is weird. Why are they in a pool?
I don't
know. That's weird.
Yeah, don't introduce water.
Well, I mean, again, like, this is, I think it was like a, I'm pretty sure this was like a photo shoot for like Variety or something. You know what I mean? So it's like, whenever you watch those videos of like GQ, like what's in my kitchen? And then like they do, like they show the behind the scenes photos of like the photo shoot that they did for GQ. It's always like dudes in like a full suit with like an ironic cool hat. And they're like jumping off a diving board into a backyard pool. And the shot's like mid jump, and they're like, "Whoa, isn't this wacky?"
I mean, that is wacky.
That one there is a bit. I wouldn't use the word wacky. I'd use the word X rated.
I was really waiting for it.
I didn't know what to say. Johnson claims remember we had this. This fucking episode's already all off the rails. His regime is evidence-based.
No, his regimen.
I know. And they wrote regime fucking article.
His paramilitary operation is...
I don't think that word can be used that way. His regiment. Johnson claims his regime... He's not a dictator. His regime is evidence-based. His dictatorship is evidence-based. However, scientists have long been skeptical about the idea of blood transfusions for youthfulness. In 2019... The FDA warned that young donor plasma infusions have no proven clinical benefit for age-related or other disease in humans.
That's the question I had, because like my first thought was like, but there's no way this works, right? Like, this is weird and doesn't work, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, I mean, so here's what I would say. I wouldn't say doesn't work, but what I would say is we don't know if this works.
It's definitely not proven to work.
It hasn't been proven to not work. It hasn't been proven to work.
But here's my thing, is I hope that they're making all of the other best healthy choices.
Oh,
in
this
their
guy's
lives.
Making crazy health choices.
Because like it would be ridiculous if you weren't like, you know, making sure that you're sleeping 8 hours a day, eating like the perfect diet, exercising in the perfect way. Because if you're not doing those things easily, then doing a blood transfusion from your blood boy's blood and like giving some to your dad.
I will say this. I read an article and watched a video the other day about this guy because he's come up on a few different podcasts. They were talking about him on Your Mom's House. He most certainly does live that kind of life. And it's like when you read about what he's doing, what he's eating, what he's like, his whole life, it is so fucking boring. Like it is so, his life must be so lame just in the pursuit of youthfulness. It's like, it just takes away from like any joy, but maybe that's where he gets his joy. Maybe he gets joy in being that fucking weird guy.
I think it's an interesting thing to think about. Like the people that, again, I don't know what he did. I don't know where his fortune came from. But if he's not actively working in the business,
his fortunes come from like eight different like companies and like venture capitalism. And he's just like a,
so if he's not in those businesses, like if he's not, like Elon Musk, for example, like he's like, Elon Musk is like embedded in all the companies that he runs. Like his life is work. His life is work in those. And that's obviously, he feels purpose in that. And that's that. Whereas if you're not working in the business on those things and like pushing those things forward and you've got a ton of money, like an unthinkable amount of money. I mean, this kind of makes a lot of sense that this would start to be your aim. Like you're,
I mean, like, well, for some it's hookers and blow, but no, for this guy, it's the opposite of hookers and blow.
It is exactly. Yeah. It's the other end.
Well, do you
want
to know? Do you want to know what he does?
But just to that point though, my last thing I want to say is like in the pursuit of trying to stay youthful, he's just blowing his time. Like unless you're like actually using that time of being youthful to like really enjoy your life. And do the things you love.
I agree.
Rather than like investing the time and actually just trying to hang on to that, like those youthful qualities, and it doesn't really make.
But it's a cliche of mega. It's a cliche of the mega rich is wanting to live forever, because like that is a cliche of the mega rich. So it's not surprising to me that he wants to do this. I'm not saying it's worthwhile or that it's like that. I'm just saying it's not.
So here's this guy's daily routine. This is and you be the judge. Maybe this sounds fun to you.
Okay.
Brian Johnson's daily routine. This is according to Fortune.com. His fascination led him to adhere to a strict approach with the goal of reversing aging with the help of a team of 30 from nutritionists to MRI specialists. He undergoes daily body fat scans, routine MRIs, and often invasive blood and stool sample tests to see the biological age of his organs. He has 100 different protocols embedded in his day, he says. Johnson consumes precisely 1,977 calories a day and over 70 pounds of vegetables a month. His breakfast is a standard mix of broccoli, cauliflower, black lentils, mushroom, garlic, and ginger, followed by a meal of nutty pudding, which he gets directly from his son's balls. we might have to cut that out. just kidding. That's not what they said.
Allegedly.
That's not what they said.
In a joke.
They said with nuts, berries, and finally a meal of vegetables, berries, nuts, and seeds, along with 15 grams of 100% dark chocolate and 30 milliliters of extra virgin olive oil.
From his son.
He admits to ending his three ounces of red wine a day he used to consume in order to meet the metrics. With a wake up at 4:30 each morning. Ugh. Johnson completes 35 different exercises and takes a list of supplements. It has all been a part of his blueprint project where he measures health of his organs to determine his rate of aging. And he says he continues to plan to continue this regimen forever.
You know what this is? You know what this reminds me of? And I think over the last couple of years, this is probably something that a lot of people can relate to in some way, is... The reason that the stock market is a exciting place for people and also a horrible place for people is because it allows you to see the minute to minute fluctuations of something and it gives you a reason to either get really excited or really fucking anxious about something at every moment of the day. Now,
it's an interesting take.
Dopamine, okay? Taylor.
So the reason I'm saying that is when I hear that he's doing a like bone density scan every day. So your bone density is not going to change significantly.
They didn't say bone density scan a day, but
like doing shit like that regularly.
Yeah.
Like even the most proactive doctor is going to go, you should do some of these things like once a year at most. Yeah. Because you're just not going to see a change that's worthwhile. And that's the same thing with securities or with companies. Like the value of them, the actual value of them don't change that much over time. And so it's more valuable to look at them sparingly over a longer period of time than to pay attention to them every second of every day.
I mean, another analogy is just, well, maybe not even an analogy, like a direct thing is looking at the scale every day.
Totally.
Which is why that would be an quote unquote unhealthy habit, because you're looking at that, and if you don't see it move in the way that you want it to, then it can lead to you feeling bad about yourself.
Oh, I should change something. I should eat less. I should run more. I should do this. I should do that.
One biochemist who was speaking to Bloomberg, who wrote an article about Johnson's transfusions, said that people seeking anti-aging infusions like this, quote, basically have an anxiety problem. He said, quote, we have not learned enough to suggest this is a viable human treatment for anything. Charles Brenner, a biochemist at the City of Hope National Medical Center in Los Angeles, told Bloomberg. He said, to me, it's gross, evidence-free, and relatively dangerous. According to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, there is no proven clinical benefit of the infusion of plasma from young human donors to cure, mitigate, treat, or prevent conditions such as normal aging or memory loss. The FDA issued the warning after clinics began popping up in several different states offering young blood from paid donors aged 16 to 25 at a cost of up to thousands of dollars per infusion. It's funny because like when I read this, it makes me just like it tickles. I know this is kind of a controversial thing to say in the current climate that we live in, but I've always been a really big fan of conspiracy theories. They can be very fun. They became a lot less fun after Trump sort of fucked them up for everyone.
I know.
But they still can be really fun. And one of the ones that is like that kind of borderline's not so fun, but still it is kind of fun, is like the people out there that like truly believe that, you know, the elite and the rich are stealing adrenochrome from babies and like injecting it. And when you read this, you go,
That's kind of
what's going on here. You know?
The thing that makes me like I actually feel a bit like angry about this, though, in particular specifically because of his son. Like his son is 17 years old, and you can't tell me that like that kid.
Dude, how annoying would that be to have that guy as your dad?
Totally.
Fuck.
Like, and I genuinely I look at that and go, I mean, speaking to the point I said earlier about like being a fly on the wall in therapy 15 years from now, like that kid is going to be fucked up by his dad. I mean, and you know what? This guy was probably fucked up by what his dad did to him too.
How fucked up would it be for him if during this, all of a sudden his dad has some adverse reaction to his son's blood and dies?
Well, I think
that would mega fuck you up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in all fairness, they're probably exceedingly confident that that would never happen because he's doing blood transfusion. Sure. So someone's administering that. I mean, like,
but we're also exceedingly confident that like time travel is impossible, but you never know.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Let's move on.
Anyway,
to...
my thoughts and prayers are with that guy's son. So
yeah.
What's his name? Talladega.
Talmage. That's gonna be the name of my next fucking character.
On this,
that's a cool name.
Right before we move on, there, a big think. I know you know.
I love Big Think.
Huh? That's the YouTube channel. Big Think. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think.
I love Big Think as well.
Dude, big Think.
I know. I think.
Highly recommend this YouTube channel out there for people. Big Think. I just saw one on longevity, and they were talking about
it's just a series of people with really big thinks.
Yeah, exactly. And I just saw one on longevity with with a doc named Morgan Levine who is talking about they are like reliably and consistently able to reverse the age of revert a dysfunctional cell back to a stem cell. So they can do that on like obviously like the smallest level. Mm-hmm. And so
with the use of guano?
I don't think it's with guano.
I think you're actually so interested in longevity that you could actually be like this guy.
Oh, dude, Zaya's adrenochrome.
15 years from now,
this guy's gargling adrenochrome from Zaya.
On a daily basis. I know that you're making a joke.
He wrings her out over the toilet and then bathes his face in the fountain of youth.
I know that you're making a joke, but in all seriousness, my interest in longevity is not to live longer; it's to live better longer. It's not lifespan, it's health span.
I know. It's the tagline of Peter Attia's book.
Peter Attia would look at this shit and go, okay, cool, great. You've got a fuckload of money to do God knows what that is not proven and not approved as a treatment. But instead of doing that, he's going in all of his chapters on everything, he's going, yeah, fingers crossed, we develop something that wipes out whatever disease, that we just cure it. But in the meantime, the only thing that you can do is what we know works, which is fucking exercise and nutrition and like really basic shit.
And, you know, blood transfusions.
Well, one thing that we could start to look at to live a longer and better life is to cut back on social media. Let's talk about the recent announcement from the Surgeon General and their thoughts on social media.
Time to check my social media.
Who loves me online?
So the Surgeon General's latest advisory urges lawmakers and parents to implement protections for kids against the harmful effects of addicting apps. The kids are not all right, and the U.S. Surgeon General believes social media is to blame. I'm really glad this is coming out now, right now, because like I've had this low key. I'm not going to say overwhelming, but I've had this low key gross feeling about social media in the last like few years as I've watched my nephews go from infants to, you know, toddler to like
kids.
What do you call a kid that's like,
what's a
seven?
Toddler is up to three.
I think
you're a kid from 4 to 12.
Yeah, okay, so kids,
yeah,
these days.
And so I've just had this like gross feeling about the idea of social media. And the U.S. Surgeon General is also in the same boat as me. Dr. Vivek H. Murthy issued a powerful public advisory yesterday. This was earlier this week. Warning of the considerable risks that social media poses to young people's mental health. Quote, nearly every teenager in America uses social media, and yet we do not have enough evidence to conclude that it is sufficiently safe for them, Murthy wrote. He argued that kids have become unknowing participants in a decades-long experiment. The Surgeon General's report focuses on the impacts of social media on kids, both positive and negative, and the attendant health risks. The report outlines two types of dangers associated with social networks: content-related problems, such as negative self-image or bullying. I think we kind of spoke to this last week a little bit with, you know, a brief mention of like filters, like app filters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the other one is use related problems such as poor sleep and addiction. What we know about social media and kids' mental health, my computer just shut off. But what we do know is that it is fucking kids up. I mean, like there was some study about the suicide rates of young girls across America was like through the fucking roof, and a lot of the I don't know if it's assumptions, but like a lot of people are pointing fingers towards social media,
dude,
as a fucking reason.
It's detrimental to my mental health,
yeah,
and I am probably on the far end of the spectrum of the way in which it can be used,
yeah,
to affect your mental health, and it's still affecting mine. And I probably not only do I not use it in the in the way that amplifies the way it affects your mental health, mm-hmm. and it still does. But I also don't use it nearly in the same amount. So it's like, you know, go back down the spectrum to using it for, you know, like the highlight reel shit and like and really feeling like people are validating you and all that stuff and like really feeling that and also using it 10 times more or more than that.
Man, the thing that I find interesting about it is like I think this is a really, I don't even know if nuance is the right word to describe it, but I think it's a nuanced conversation about it in the sense that one, I know, so from my perspective, I have a social media addiction. And I know that
who doesn't?
I know that like over the
like, I feel like it's last, really rare for us to yeah. know anyone who actually doesn't.
Totally. And you know? And over the last couple of years I've noticed it get worse, even though I've become aware of it. And the thing that's interesting is I don't like really share much of my life on social media, and I don't mm-hmm. really engage with much of my friends other than like sending you guys memes or whatever. But like
that's essentially the use case for
us, the thing that I find interesting is that like the dopamine of like the infinite scroll is so,
I mean, I didn't download and use TikTok because I was like, TikTok, like, I don't get it. It's for the kids. It's all dancing and shit. I was like, I'm not fucking touching that shit because it is an infinite scroll.
I mean, it's the same as Instagram Reels.
It is. Yeah. And I already got one. Yeah. I don't need two.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
I already got one. I don't need more.
But the thing is also, it's, and I think this is why the thing around kids using social media is such is a bit more of a nuanced conversation and a challenging conversation, is because it does also empower connection in some ways good and in some ways bad. And I was listening to an episode of Hard Fork the other day where they were talking about this, and I share a similar perspective to one of the hosts who mentioned this idea that like that it's not about saying you can't use social media or like telling people not to use it. It's about having conversations about the negative effects of it. Ooh. So that we can better understand it. And they use the anecdote of like having the sex talk with your kids.
Yeah.
And like the importance of educating your kids about, you know, the challenging experiences that might come up when you're scrolling, with whether it's with your self-image, whether it's with bullying, whether it's with the way that you interact with content or like the amount of time that you spend interacting with content. So it is like, it's not entirely a bad thing, but personally, from my own experience, I just feel like I want to be using it less. Mm-hmm. But also, there is this like fear of missing out.
Yeah, well, it's a lot like food. There's like, you know, there's everything from the healthiest thing you can get your hands on to you know shitty processed, ultra processed garbage fast food that, you know, tastes really good but is literally doing nothing for you whatsoever. And you have access to it all. And that is, I think, what social media really is. Like, mm-hmm. it has this massive spectrum of utility and also just garbage, waste of time features. And
as an adult, when it comes to those things, like even to social media, as an adult, we have a capacity, a much greater capacity to be able to understand and like see and recognize and acknowledge the fact that we are using that thing that is detrimental to ourselves and our health, regardless of whether or not we do something about it. We have a capacity to understand it,
and we need to use it. We need to teach ourselves, and now fucking people younger than us, because people younger than us are having kids. People younger than us need to teach themselves how to use it well, mm-hmm. how to use it correctly, and like with good judgment, in order to pass that behavior on to their kids.
Yeah, because kids don't have that same ability that we have to acknowledge and look at. Like, you know, it's just like, if I was a fucking kid today, dude, I'd be drinking 10 Prime a day and like fucking, you know, like I'd be such a piece of shit. Like I'd be inundated with like with crap, with garbage.
I'm curious, like from your guys' perspective to actually like try to take something actionable from this. Like what is one thing, like one type of like guardrail or thing that you could put in place to like help you sort of curb the addiction or have a better relationship with social media?
So the thing that I'm going to start doing is if like, and anybody can do this, like when you're out and about, you know, at the grocery store or fucking walking your dog through the park or whatever, and you see someone who looks like they are younger than Brian Johnson, you know, so a kid, under the age of 18, using their phone with their like face in their phone. All you have to do, just walk up to them and fucking slap it out of their hands.
Yeah.
And then just, right, and then just stare at them.
Yeah.
Stare them right down. Well,
bonus points if their phone smashes.
Right.
Yeah. And then walk away. But don't say anything.
Right.
Just do that and walk away.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we were actually talking about this.
I think that works.
We actually mentioned this yesterday when we were, I can't remember what we were talking about, something to do with the wildfires and someone leaving a dumb comment, can we get rid of the comment culture? Can we just, and that means, I think, and this might sound, I can see how it would be very easily to go, that Taylor, that's fucking stupid. That and never going to happen. I can totally relate to that sentiment about this, but can we just get rid of comments?
Yeah.
Can we get rid of the fucking aspect of social media where everybody just needs to weigh in? It is because we were talking about this, like papers. When you got the paper, you got the magazine, you could read it and you could think about why you thought it was awesome or stupid. And then you could share that with a friend by telling them or calling them and talking to them about it. But you couldn't fucking write it in the magazine and then recirculate that version of it to every single person on earth.
Yeah.
So can we take away the comments so that you can still get this insane access to information that we've never had the likes of before ever, and not start fucking culture wars?
I mean, even if it's just, and maybe we don't like remove, maybe Instagram doesn't remove commenting from the platform, but like I can make it a thing for myself to not read comments anymore and to not comment on shit.
How sick would it be if there was a feature for you to be able to just turn it off right now?
Yeah.
Not turn it off, you can turn it off so that people can't comment on your shit. But I mean, like, just turn off the comment thing so you don't even see it. Like, I mean, I do want to get to like what we do know about social media and kids' mental health like today. But before we do, to your point, because we didn't mention, just massive thoughts and prayers and fucking love sending out to everybody who's been affected by the wildfires. For people who don't know, like it's probably not like international news or anything, but
it's national news. We got an email from somebody, from a colleague in Toronto, and she mentioned in her email, and I was like, holy shit, I didn't know it was.
Yeah, there's been wildfires here in Nova Scotia, which is very uncharacteristic for Nova Scotia. Climate change is here, and it's very close to where we live. 20-minute drive from here. There's over 200, you know, 200 structures, 200 homes that have been affected by this fire. 14,000 residents of Nova Scotia have been have had to evacuate their homes. A good friend of ours is like waiting to hear if his home fucking burnt down. Super super sad and really fucked up.
And we always look at Alberta and go, wow, I can't believe if that was where we...
Right, like, exactly, because that shit happens every single year in Alberta to like massive extents, and we're just getting a little like taste of it here. But on Instagram yesterday, there was a video of a guy, and it was like, here's the context of the video. It was the place where the very first fire truck unit showed up to try to put out a fire. And it was on the perimeter of this guy's property, which is all trees, woods, and his driveway is what's separating this fire on the trees to his home. He's just got a driveway in the middle and then a forest fire right next to his fucking house. And it's obviously like a real fire, but it's not like, you know, this is early in the fire. It's not like it's engulfing an entire forest, and like you can't see shit, and it's fuck, you know, it's it, there's a couple trees on fire next to his fucking house, and the guy obviously just came back from work or some shit. He's wearing like a suit and a tie, you know, like just got home from the office, and he's got his fucking lawn hose with like a what do you call it? Like a hose gun.
Yeah.
And he's pointing at the fire. He's like trying to like put it out while the fucking firefighters are like arriving and trying to help the guy. And of course this is like, this guy's home's gone now. This guy does not have a home anymore. Almost guaranteed. It was in the center of where this shit started. And one of the top comments on the fucking post was like, Darwinism at its best, like not worth it, dumb fuck. And it's like, yo.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck is going through your mind? Like, at what point do you think you're being helpful right now?
And
you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah, and do we need to offer people the opportunity and the capacity to do that?
Nobody needs your fucking opinion. Nobody needs my fucking opinion on it. Shut the fuck up.
But it also, I feel like it emboldens people to be shitty people in like real life too. Like, I feel like that culture sort of spills out like outside of the internet too, and then people, and obviously far less so, but like if you're used to going online and picking fights and being in the comments and talking shit to one another all day, like that must have take some sort of toll on you, you know, outside of like being
totally
on your computer.
Now think about that in the context of a bunch of fucking children going to high school.
Yeah.
And back to this. So what we do know about social media and kids' mental health, by all accounts, America's youth are currently experiencing a mental health crisis. The number of teens and young adults with clinical depression has doubled between 2011 and 2021, according to San Diego State University psychology professor Gene Twenge. In 2021, the CDC found that nearly 25% of teenage girls have made a suicide plan. Many experts have pointed
how
25% of teenage girls
have made a suicide plan.
Many experts have pointed to social media as a potential cause, since the deterioration of kids' mental health has coincided with the rise of social media platforms over the last decade. Still, the effect of likes, retweets, and TikTok comments on kids' brains remain more or less a mystery. We know that social media use affects adolescents and that teens show alarming rates of anxiety and depression, but studies that have attempted to determine whether social media is a direct cause of worsening mental health has been inconclusive. Plus, not all kids are impacted by social media similarly. Some adolescent girls, for instance, appear to be more at risk than others.
There's just so many confounding factors. I'm not surprised that they can't pinpoint it. Yeah. But it's kind of like, I mean, it's very much so like the conversation about the forever plastics.
Yeah.
It's like, man, why are we all more shitty in almost every way than we were 100 years ago?
Yeah.
Other than our ability to treat infections with antibiotics. It's like by so many metrics, we're just worse off. And it's we use this thing in every single product that is across the globe.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to pinpoint it and say like, this is the thing.
Yeah.
But it just so happens that thing is in everything. And it's like social media is that for the minds of people.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
capitalism.
A post-capitalist
society.
a good reminder, if you haven't been thinking about it, just to take a moment to like think about the way that you use social media. Are there ways that you could like improve your relationship with it? Because it's fucking up our kids. This has been a bummer.
My last quick thing on that is, I just want to personally, I'm going to stop engaging, reading comments and posting comments. And then my second thing is, I want to stop using social media when I'm bored. Maybe on the toilet.
Yeah. I'll never stop using it when I'm shitting.
Yeah. I think on the toilet's a good
I got to do something when I'm shitting.
But seriously, the comment thing.
Dude, yeah. 100%.
I mean, if you're commenting, just think about that for a second. Like, seriously, think about it. Especially if you are talking shit.
Dude, yeah.
Like, especially if you're talking shit.
And honestly,
and if you think you're being helpful.
Also, the only reason we're saying any of this is because we're so tired of all the fucking negative comments on our Instagram. Leave us alone.
Like, seriously, though, if you think you're being helpful, if you think you're being helpful, really, really think about how helpful.
Should turn off our comments.
Really think about how helpful a social media comment is. Yeah. Because even the most intelligent, logical, well thought out comment is not going to do anything except toss gas on a fire.
Yeah. And honestly, what we've been trying to get at is we want to hear from you what you're going to do to curb your social media use.
So leave one comment on every single picture and reel we've ever put up on our Instagram page.
Engagement.
And if you're watching on YouTube, seriously, right now, leave a comment below.
And again, this is the very last thing I'll say.
Oh, for fuck's sake, guys.
Seriously. If you want to fucking do something, if you want to do something about something that you feel you need to talk about, say it to the people that matter to you.
Yeah.
Say it to the people that you spend your time with so that you can get on the same page with the people that actually matter in your life, and maybe that will extend outwards.
Yeah.
Favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Let's do a little palate cleanser. Okay. This was from a tweet from someone. I found this on social media.
I'm not reading anymore. It's on social media.
This guy is a social worker and a coach and fitness instructor. And he's brought these, he's come up with these fun games to play with the residents in this nursing home. Okay. This made me feel really happy. So if you're just watching this, he's like Art Zuka these games.
I know why you like this. You like this because it's like the beer game at Propeller.
Dude, 100%. Yeah, this is like ice cold beer in real life.
Dude, this is awesome.
It's sick.
It is awesome. Yeah.
He's got this vacuum game that he plays. Basically, it's like vacuum hockey, trying to catch these balls.
Dude, he's got the vacuum on his back.
Again, we highly suggest you go check this out on YouTube if you haven't seen it. It really is like heartwarming cute. And then this old man.
Stop.
Old man tries to make a little joke. Yeah.
Oh,
he made his own like table hockey with books. That's great. Oh, fuck, I love this.
This is the best thing I've ever seen.
Guys, no joke. This is also, wow, this is incredible. Because this is also extremely functional and useful.
Yeah.
Like this is, these are like brain teasers, functional movement, like coordination, like things that seriously degrade as you get older unless you practice it.
Mm. So shout out to that guy. Don't know who it is, but if anybody does know, leave a comment in our comment section so we can find out. Let's move on to this fascinating story. A guy in, I believe in...
Now you know what? Don't leave a comment. DM us.
Actually, comment on his videos and tell him to write us and comment our videos so that he can come on our show.
So I think this guy's from Sweden, Switzerland, some kind of Nordic country. I don't know.
Switzerland's not Nordic.
Tall, dude, fucking over there country. This guy had a brain implant. He was paralyzed and now can walk using his thoughts. This is this week's edition of AI Bryce.
A Bry.
Yeah. So his name is Gert John Oskam.
Is this Neuralink stuff or what?
No, it is not. It is not Neuralink. So this is a picture of the gentleman. He basically is wearing a PlayStation 5 on his head, and he's got some stilts. In 2011 in China, he was in a motorcycle accident that left him paralyzed from his hips down. And now with a combination of devices, scientists have given him control over his lower body again. He said, quote, for 12 years, I've been trying to get back my feet, Mr. Oskam said in a press briefing on Tuesday. He said, now I have learned how to walk natural. In a study published on Wednesday in the journal Nature, researchers in Switzerland described implants that provide a digital bridge between Mr. Oskam's brain and his spinal cord, bypassing injured sections. The discovery allowed Mr. Oskam, who's 40, to stand, walk, and ascend a steep ramp with only the assistance of a walker. More than a year after the implant was inserted, he has retained these abilities and has actually showed signs of neurological recovery, walking with crutches, even when the implant was switched off. How fucking crazy is that? Quote, we've captured the thoughts of Gert Jan and translated these thoughts into a stimulation of the spinal cord to reestablish voluntary movement. So this is super fucking wild.
Wow. So he's basically like, through the use of the implant, he has basically developed like a workaround in his nervous system to use his legs that is starting to work without the implant.
Yeah. So the way this works, kind of broken down, the new interface changed. So he went through like a bunch of different stuff over the years, and they started doing this like new treatment with him. In the new study, the brain spine interface, as the researchers called it, took advantage of AI through, it's called an AI thought decoder, which reads Mr. Oskam's intentions and detected as electrical signals in his brain. And then they match those thoughts to muscle movement. The etiology of nature movement, of natural movement from the thought to intention to action was preserved. The only addition, as Dr. Cortine described it, was the digital bridge spanning the injured parts of the spine. So they've used AI inside this chip to basically read it. It's like human to tech telepathy. His thoughts are telling the chip what to do in order to stimulate the brain so that his body does it. Mm-hmm. Andrew Jackson, a neuroscientist at Newcastle University who was not involved in the study, said, quote, it raises interesting questions about autonomy and the source of commands. You're continuing to blur the philosophical boundary between what's the brain and what's the technology. Which is a fucking trippy thought, right?
That's super trippy. Yeah.
Here's a video of him walking if you want to see him move. It's funny. The thing on his head looks like the bra in Little Nicky.
Yeah, it does.
On, like the booby head. Look at this fucking Nord walking like that. So what we're watching right now is a fairly tall gentleman with this thing attached to his head. And he's walking with like a wheel-assisted walker. So not canes, but like one of those walkers with like a little basket in front of it.
Within 5 to 10 minutes, I could control my hips. Like they were, like the brain implant picked up what I was doing with my hips. So that was like, yeah, the best outcome climbing for everyone.
I mean, shit, 12 years too. I mean, his muscles are probably, probably really, really
atrophied. It's interesting because you can almost see like the firing of like the electrical signals as like his like movements are almost sort of like frame by frame with like the sending of the commands to actually like make his body move. It's wild.
It is wild. And I don't know if you have that in there, but I mean, speaking like along the same line is that Neuralink was, approved by the FDA for a human trials.
First human trial.
Yeah, so Dr. Jackson added that scientists in the field have been theorizing about connecting the brain to the spinal cord as stimulators for decades. So he had implant in the brain and an implant in the spinal cord, and the two were basically linked in terms of like electrical signals. The researchers used another algorithm to connect the brain implant to the spinal implant, which was to send electrical signals to different parts of the body, sparking movement. The algorithm was able to account for slight variations in the direction and speed of each muscle contraction and relaxation. And because the signals between the brain and the spine were sent every 300 milliseconds, Mr. Oskam could quickly adjust his strategy based on what was working and what wasn't. Dude, within the first treatment session, he could twist his hip muscles. Which
that's why you could see every 300 milliseconds. That's why you could see that sort of like,
right,
like pulse to it, almost like frame by frame movement.
Totally.
But it's
we need to get that down to 25 to get that frame, that lag down.
Yeah, that's right. 100%. But it is, so there's two chips, one in the brain and one down below. So I'm guessing like, because there's some sort of severed connection in the spine, then it's basically jumping that.
That's what they were saying earlier.
They
created this bridge.
That second chip that then like fires electrical signals to.
It's crazy when every time that there's an innovation like this, that especially when you're combining like AI with it, it is wild to think to see how we are beginning to understand or more fully understand bit by bit how much computers are like humans.
Yeah.
You know what is interesting is that
from an engineering standpoint, I suppose.
So this makes a lot of sense to me from the perspective that I've been using AI to write a web application and
just say app.
It's a web app.
Just say app, yeah.
So to write an app. And the interesting thing
application.
The interesting thing is that I will have an idea in my head of how I want it to work. And so I will write that in natural language in English into ChatGPT. And then it outputs some code, and then I run the code and it does the thing that I want. And so like in a way, and I know that this isn't the exact same, but in a way it gives me something that I can't read. But when I use it, it's exactly what I had pictured in my head when I gave it that prompt or input. Mm-hmm. And I think of that in the same way that like they don't necessarily know how the AI is making specific, you know, electrical signals. They don't know what's happening in that like in between phase because AI is making so many assumptions, but it's basically predicting what needs to happen to make that movement happen. And so,
and it's translating to languages. It's translating the language of his thoughts into
movement,
into an electrical signal that outputs movement,
which is the really exciting.
Which
and
is
also,
interesting because I wonder if he thought his thoughts in French, if it would do it.
Probably would.
Well, I think it's not a.
Or if he thought his thoughts,
it's a pattern.
If he thought his thoughts in German.
Yeah, it's right? He's not thinking. He's not thinking in a language.
I think he is. He's from Switzerland, so he's thinking in Swiss,
but German, this is, French, or Italian.
This is the interesting. And
he is thinking in. Well, he spoke English, so he's thinking in English. But what if he's? What if he was thinking in Swahili? Can the AI read it? I don't know. We don't know, and we won't know until it's too late. AI is going to kill us.
Do you guys want to know the interesting thing that I think about this?
Yes.
If it has to do with how you make your fucking app, Ryan, no.
It doesn't have to do with my app. But the interesting thing is that, and the interesting and scary thing is that because they don't necessarily know what's happening in the middle, but they know that they're trying to achieve this outcome and giving it some sort of input, that is the same way that, like, you know, we could give it the input of, like, figuring out a cure for cancer and it gives us output, but we don't know what's happening in that middle space. And that is the scary thing because that is where there's also room for the AI to do very dangerous things.
Well, you know what's scary to me? This
could end the world.
The part of this that's scary to me is that when the revolution happens and the AI come to get us, they got Gert. Like Gert's
he's
on their side now. Like Gert's a fucking he's just like a grunt now for the AI. Like they're gonna go throw this fucker on the front line.
Let it be known that I'm on their side too.
I'm an AI optimist.
I'm on the AI side, but I don't want to go to war. I don't want to like fight for the AI. You know,
I just
like,
want AI to know. Let it be known historically that I've always been. I'm on your side.
I don't think there's gonna be a fight. I'm an AI optimist. I see the dangers. But I think we're going to figure it out.
Wait till Gert's fucking knocking on your door. Jen McGee in our Discord had a very interesting thought about this article, about this man, which said, super interesting, but it makes me think of an older article that we covered on Feel Good Friday about people with obsolete implants in their body. Is it possible this guy's implants could stop working if the company goes out of business or the technology becomes obsolete? 100%. 100%.
100%.
But fingers crossed, that's not the direction that we're going. Also, those like ocular implants that sort of like shit the bed. I think those companies started at a time where technologically, they had to jump a lot of hoops. Whereas, like, if you start up some sort of tech company today, again, to come back to the AI thing, AI is doing a lot of the heavy lifting and the heavy work to kind of propel a company to a point where, you know, they'll make the funding that they need to like keep their fucking
guys,
shit afloat. I don't know.
This is why there's like open source absolutists, like people who believe that the code should be made public and available. Because if these companies go to business, then there could be a repository that somebody could clone and then like run it locally on their own computer and then basically manage their own technology that's in their body.
Yeah. Or some type of like, because all this shit is super, super early, like this is like 1994 for the internet, for AI right now. It's going to move much faster than the internet ever moved. But you have this crazy amount of companies come out of the ground. And then you have the dot-com bubble in 2001, 2002, 2003. And then it bursts and like 90% of those companies go out of business and fail. And you're left with these like, ultimately like the behemoths that we have today, like the Amazons and the Googles and the Apples and stuff. And I think we'll probably have, end up with something like that. I would imagine. I mean, AI definitely holds the promise to absolutely flip everything on its head and rewrite things in a totally different order than what we were used to in the past.
Just like Trump did as a president.
Just like Trump did. But I think like, and you know, I would probably say I'm just thinking about Elon Musk and his track record. Neuralink in this realm is, I think, would be not a crazy thing to say that might be a company that will really be at the forefront of a lot of this for a while to come. So I would like to see.
Yeah, as long as they don't kill the human subjects like they did with the animals.
Right. So I would like. So if something went obsolete and Neuralink had like a similar product and like there were people that were basically left out in the cold with obsolete products, that a company like Neuralink would go, hey,
we got you.
Because this is fucked up that your whole life was dependent on this company that went out of business. And so.
It'll just cost you $180,000.
Well, hopefully a compassionate.
Yeah, give us a $25,000 deposit. You can get in line, and then and then we'll get it to you. Let's wrap this up real quick because our cameras are running out of battery. How do you guys like the new camera setup on YouTube? All 8 of you that watch, thank you. This is about religion, and about how religion makes us do some wacky things. I was really fucking super baked on edibles the other day and came across this Instagram page called Holy Violence.
Oh, wow.
And it was just a series of videos of wild rituals from around the world that people do in the name of religion. One of them was like this, what was it? It was like an exploding hammer festival or something like that. And it was to honor some saint. And I believe it might've been in Mexico. Anyway, it was these guys. This is the first video that I saw that got me down this rabbit hole. It was these guys holding these sledgehammers, and the sledgehammers had like makeshift fucking like bombs on the heads of them. And then these guys would slam these things into railroad ties. And the fucking hammer would boom, blow up like right in their face, and the hammer would fly into the air. And all these people are doing this like boom, 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 all over the place. And it's just, and it's like a religious thing.
Are they going blind?
Like, man, I'm happening? Sure some people get fucked up 100%. So then I was like, what is this? And I went onto this page, and it's this guy who travels around the world, and he finds these things.
Oh, that's interesting.
So here's a video of one, and I don't know, maybe this won't be allowed to be on YouTube. So I don't know. I'm sorry. Ooh, I don't know, Brian. In terms of editing, I'm sorry.
I don't know, dude.
But check this out. So this is men who whip their backs with knife-tipped flails during Ashura in Old Delhi, India. Shia Muslims commemorate this day with extreme forms of mourning as it marks the assassination of Hussein ibn Ali, grandson of Muhammad, and his family during the Battle of Karbala in the year 680 CE. So these guys,
oh my God,
are smoking their backs with these knife-laden flails. And they are tearing their backs
to
absolute shreds.
It's like the guy in fuck.
I know what you're talking about.
The Dan Brown book.
Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code. The guy in the Da Vinci Code.
Right. So the guy that's self-flagellation is the term. And it's a disciplinary and devotional practice of flogging oneself with whips or other instruments that inflict pain. In Christianity, self-flagellation is practiced in the context of the doctrine of the mortification of the flesh and is seen as a spiritual discipline. It's often used as a form of penance and is intended to allow the flagellant to share the sufferings of Jesus. That's in Christianity. These were Muslims. Not all Muslims celebrate Ashura this way. And even among the Shia communities across other countries that this guy's witnessed, there's more and less extremes. The main religions that practice self-flagellation include Christianity and Judaism. The ritual has also been practiced among members of several Egyptian and Greco-Roman cults. This is according to Wikipedia. But yet, I saw this video and I was just thinking, like, man, A, that's wild. B, how fucking shitty is the next, like, month after that? Yeah. Your back is not good. Like, that's rough stuff.
You know,
unless you do it with your son and then you rub backs together so that you get the benefits of swapping bloods.
We were at the Commons a couple days ago.
Commons is a park here in Halifax.
Yep. And I was, you were off with Zaya and Kira and I had a conversation.
I was draining her of her adrenochrome.
That's right. I volunteered.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Kira about, I was like, you know, this came up in conversation for a reason that I won't talk about because I don't want to get fucking canceled. But I basically was like, because people don't fucking understand context. So anyway, something came up and I was like, man, people with cultural, whatever sort of cultural, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like rules and things that they follow for people follow for cultural
customs?
Cultural reason, cultural customs. Yeah.
Your mic's just dead. Did you unplug it there? There you go.
Hey, I said to Kira, there is something so incredible about people who like really adhere to cultural customs, like really just impressive. When they adhere to a cultural custom that is undoubtedly causing discomfort.
Like what we just saw.
Yeah, because I was going, yeah, man, if anything makes me feel even slightly uncomfortable, I just question its relevance.
Yeah.
Like slightly uncomfortable, I go, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, is there a way that is there a benefit to this? Is there a reason why I should just stop doing this? And can I just like make my life more comfortable?
But it's totally different though. And just using this as an example, this video, like if you believe in an afterlife and you believe in a heaven and a place that is like pure ecstasy, then going through some sort of suffering, you know, like the figure or story in your
because that discomfort there isn't just discomfort. Mm. That discomfort comes with a lot of comfort, I would say.
Euphoria.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going, wow, like it is incredible because I am so likely to just question that.
But there's also a lot of stories.
And that's when you got to check your privilege, bud.
But as somebody
you're walking a fine line.
As somebody who grew up, who
hate to see the comments of this video, Taylor.
No, people don't comment anymore. But as somebody who grew up going to Sunday school and doing First Communion and being I don't know, baptized, whatever the religious stuff I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they teach you to that, like questioning, you know, the reasons why you do things is like a sign of sort of weakness in your belief. Like you're not supposed to question because you're supposed to believe so wholeheartedly that if you question, then that is in a way sinning against your, you know, specifically against, you know, my religion that I was brought up in. So
that's why so many
I'm definitely not, I definitely am not shying away from talking about the reality of that.
Yeah.
Cause that's
problem.
That's a world.
Anyway.
When my son told me to question it. Okay. So, well, there we go, folks. That's another episode. How about that? And we hope you enjoyed it. And stay out of the comments. Don't fucking do it. And if you want to support the podcast, instead of commenting, what you can do is come over to Discord, which is another social media channel, and you can start to comment there.
No, you're not commenting there. You're engaging in a conversation,
which is the same as commenting for the most part.
And you're like making friends.
Making friends.
In a community setting.
Yeah. That's right.
Communal comment.
It doesn't have the toxic feel of a comment section.
No, it doesn't.
At least not yet.
Not yet.
So what Brian's saying is there's a gap for someone out there to
fill. There's an opportunity here.
Someone could come and just toxic.
We've actually got a good mod bot on the server that keeps that shit from happening. So it's a safe space.
Yeah. Thanks. Leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating on the Spotify mobile app if you want to support the podcast. And shout out to all our patrons.
And if you want to be on the show, go to sickboypodcast.com and fill out the guest form. Brian's favorite button. And if you want to nominate somebody that you think should be on the show, let us know. We would we'd love to know, especially if they're in the realm of like research or anything fun and crazy and wacky in the realm of health.
And if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you comment below and let us know how you're managing your social media relationship.
Yeah.
In a way that's helpful and that you might be able to suggest or recommend to us and our other listeners. And a huge thank you to Jeff Lonis for being our manager. We love you, Jeff. And a huge thank you to Rich O'Coin for the theme music.
And a huge shout out to all those people awaiting to find out about their homes. Super sad. We're you're in our thoughts. And especially all those pets. That was the one part that made me so fucking sad, was just the thought of pets being left behind. So, and if you're not aware of it, take a look into it. And there's places I'm sure that are going to be popping up for opportunities to support. So if you're in a place to support those in need, go use social media to look it up. That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeremy, and this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.